We have a catchphrase for our title this morning, Hezekiah the Appealing. How appealing is Hezekiah? That's a little play on words. Because he's going to make an appeal before God. And that's what our lesson is about this morning. Hezekiah, H-E-Z-E-K-I-A-H. Excellent. The appealing. And our character trait this morning is discretion. It's a word that maybe is not used as often as it ought to be in our day. And our definition next to this is the art of making an appeal. The art of making an appeal. Yeah. All right, and our first point is the threat. The threat. I'll give a little bit of an introduction. I gave a little introduction last week, and to clarify some things, I think I said Babylon next week. This is the kingdom of Assyria. There were two large kingdoms that really the Lord used as judgment on the land of Israel. One was the Assyrians or Assyria at this time, and then also Babylon later on. And so, but this is the kingdom of Assyria, and Sennacherib is the king of this kingdom, and his messenger is Rabshakeh. These names, you know. Rabshakeh is the man who comes and is speaking for the king. And so we'll be talking about Rabshakeh. So the threat is, our first subpoint of the threat is, he is bold. He is not coming meekly like an ambassador to talk about cutting a deal or making a deal. He comes bold. Second point is he comes brash. He comes to intimidate. Bold and brash. And then finally, the third point is he comes blasphemously. He comes blaspheming the God of Israel. And he puts them into the same camp as the gods of all the other nations. He says, now don't listen to your king Hezekiah. He's telling you to trust in your Lord, but your God is nothing. There you go. There you go. You can have them all. And sure. And so he says, yeah, indeed, we have gone from nation to nation and destroyed the gods that they trusted in. And now you think that somehow that your God is going to save you from us? We doubt it. We defy your God. He's nothing to us. Why don't you just give up right now and just become part of our nation and it'll be good for you. That's probably the nicest things he said. Everything else was bold, brash, and blasphemous. This was Rabshakeh, so maybe we could say that this was he was sent as a messenger. From the king, from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And they'd come up into the land, and now they were right outside the wall. Jerusalem is a walled city. It's really something to behold, to come and to be inside a walled city. We're not used to that kind of a thing here in the United States. You drive in your car and you go and you pass city by city. You pass through city after city, but in the old times, they needed to have a way of defense from other nations. And so they would build high walls. And Jerusalem has high walls built all around it. It's quite a sight to see this. You can't just come into the city. You have to go through one of the gates. And of course, then you can be checked out before you're allowed to go in the city. And then at the nighttime, the gates close. Boom. And they're shut and they're barred. And everybody in the city is safe for the evening. Well, that's what Jerusalem is. It's a walled city. And this Rabshakeh came up to the city and was speaking up to people that were on the wall. He was not inside the city, but he was threatening. He was acting as if that wall wasn't there. It's no big deal. He's saying, our armies will take you down. You think you are secure. You think your God is making you secure. That's not the case. We've tore city after city down, and you will be no different. All right. So he comes with a pride, too, in his boldness and in his brashness. Let's just put down the word. He's very proud. he's very proud. He's proud of his position, I'm sure. And he is feeling unintimidated. And he starts also speaking in the Hebrew to speak directly so everybody on the wall can hear what he's saying. And the council that was sent said, stop speaking in our tongue, you know. But he just then starts speaking in the language of the Hebrews and spoke very brashly and intimidating. If you can intimidate someone so much without lifting a hand, you've already got the battle won in a lot of different ways. I'm sure we've all maybe witnessed, maybe in our childhood, maybe in our adult age, where two individuals that are going to fight with each other go through almost the ceremony of name-calling before the first punch is thrown. I remember seeing this as a child. Just first of all the obscenities come out, all of the different ways that the one person can cut the other person down, and then all the boasting of, well, you're toast. I'm gonna finish you off, and all of this kind of stuff. And it's all kind of a jockeying for position. It's a mind game to get into the head of the other individual to try to get some advantage on the other person. I think that's what's going on here. There's this brash language that is going on. He really wants to make the hearts of Jerusalem fail, so they have no fight in them before they even start. That's kind of the way the devil is too, isn't he? I mean, he will try to tell us about all the bad things of our life. He will try to intimidate us and accuse us of all the things that he can think of. And then he will attack our God and say, he can't help you. You're a lost cause. You have no hope. Why don't you just give up and we have a pretty nice city over here, and why don't you just give in? And that's kind of the way the Lord or the devil works in our lives. And we have to resist the devil, as it says in the scripture. And that resisting usually is just a head game. That's where the devil will get in. It's a head game. He will get in and he will start convincing us of the wrong thing. And what's our battle against the head game? It's God's scripture. God's word in our heart is going to be able to help us to just be quiet, which is our next point. We're going to start getting to the next point here, which is the tactic. The tactic. Hezekiah had a tactic. He didn't go out on the wall himself. He sent a council. He sent some important men out because they knew that this man was coming that represented Assyria. And he sent these particular men, and he sent them with some instructions. And some of the instruction was, don't answer him. Keep your mouth closed. Just listen to him. And then I want you to bring this message back to me. And so the first point we have here is the action, which is that they've been instructed to listen, but not to get into a back and forth, into tactics, verbal tactics with them, with the enemy at this point. That was not what they were, just to be quiet, to hold their peace, and then bring back what's being told to Hezekiah. So that was the action that was taken care of, that was taken. I'm going to change something on here. The council, that the action is the, actually, if you put the council right here. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they probably, Hezekiah had in his mind that maybe they would be able to, just by talking, be able to work some of this out. And it was not, that was not the attitude that Rabshakeh came with. There was no, Rabshakeh did not come to make a deal. Rabshakeh said, no, we're going to take you over. You need to surrender. So you won't get hurt. Let's just take care of this now. You surrender now, and we'll take you into our land. But, you know, if you resist, you know, just look what's happened to all the other nations. You'll be wiped out. And so Rabshakeh does not want to do anything but bring the message that they're coming to wipe them out. So there, the second point is that there's a closed door, a closed door. First the council, and then closed door. Now that'll be B, yeah, a closed door, yeah, because yeah. Sometimes closed doors are good. If you're getting into some kind of a situation that isn't good, and life will have things that are not good, that seem to be put right in front of us, sometimes the best thing is a closed door. It's better that they didn't try to make an alliance with Assyria, if you really think about it. You know, the standards that Hezekiah had brought forth in his time here was wonderful. He had cut down all these groves and stuff, as we looked at last week, and he brought a real reform to the land. And now to have a king come in from another nation, or a messenger of a king come in, what if they would have tried to work out some kind of a deal? You know, your nation will be part of our nation will be part of your nation. God told them, don't do that. Don't do that kind of a thing with another nation, because they will surely bring in their own idolatry. You know, their wives with your men and so forth, they'll bring their idolatry in, and your hearts will be captured. You see that in history. That's what happened to Solomon, who had many wives. The strange wives from other nations started to turn his heart away from the Lord. So this closed door, I think, is really a good thing. There was no real negotiating that was going to be going on between Assyria and Israel. Assyria wanted to come and take them over, and Jerusalem didn't want that to happen. It's just a closed door. There's no negotiating going on. And then finally, well, the third point here is a conclusion, which is what I just said. Rabshakeh brings the message, they want a takeover, period. They want the city, they want Assyria to to take over Jerusalem. Surrender now, nobody gets hurt. That's basically their message. Surrender now, nobody gets hurt. What do you suppose God thinks about that? Surrender now to the evil force and nobody gets hurt. It's not right, is it? It's not right. Hezekiah is the king of this nation, and he's not in favor of it. And I'm sure the people are not in favor of it either, but I bet some of them are fearful and afraid. And may just try to say, let's just take the peaceful way out of this. Let's not have any war here. Let's not have any confrontation here. Let's avoid the confrontation. You know, maybe it wouldn't be too bad to, maybe we can have an influence on Assyria if we go and live among them. And I think this is one of the errors of the times that we live in, is that we think that we can have a greater influence by being chameleons, by chameleonizing with a culture around us. And rather than saying, no, I will not. I will not do that. That's against the Lord's commandment. Instead, we make the compromises and thinking that we'll have an influence. Well, the compromise in itself and its definition already means that we've gone off the mark. We've stepped off the mark. We're already giving evidence of what we're going to continue to do. The Christian needs to hold to his convictions. And Hezekiah knows this. And he takes the next step here, which is the action. And we have the threat from this bold, brash, blasphemous man. And I guess we didn't really go into this a lot, but he blasphemies God. He says he's no God. He's nothing to me. You know, don't trust in your God. He blasphemies him, speaks against him, and considers him very little, Rabshakeh. Well, thank God he did that right there. Thank God Rabshakeh did that right there. Because that is what Hezekiah went to the Lord with. He didn't go to the Lord with, I'm a good man. Don't let this happen to me. We're good people. Look at how we've reformed in the last couple of years. Lord, have mercy on us. Now, it's not to say that the Lord wouldn't have mercy on Hezekiah and his people and look at what reforms have happened. But it's not as strong of a case as coming to the Lord and saying, listen to this Rabshakeh, what he says about you. That's right. Good. Thank you for bringing that out. The letter, as it talks about, and it says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Say, Lord, read this. these are the words of these Assyrians. See what they're saying about you? That's a much stronger case, isn't it? Much stronger case. And so let's go through the points here. The action. That is the action. He brought this letter. So, I'm sorry, the first point here is the technique. The threat, the tactic, the technique. And so the action is that he takes this letter and lays it before the Lord in the house of the Lord. The action. That will you just put right. See, this here is wrong. I'm sorry. Right, the council. And then we're going to put the action over there. Okay. I looked down a little bit too far on my notes. Okay. Nope, that's right. You got the sub point is the action. The action is that Hezekiah takes this letter that Rabshakeh brought, or that was brought to him after he read it, and he laid it before the Lord in the house of the Lord. That is the action. The appeal is, as he prays, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwells between cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, the king, which hath sent to reproach the living God. There you go. Which hath sent to reproach the living God. That one is verse 17, right after the memory verse 16 that we have. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, this is the appeal, which is our next point, the appeal. Therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know. Here's the punchline. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. So you see, it's not Hezekiah's reputation that's on the line. It's not Israel's reputation. But here Hezekiah says, look at what the Sennacherib is saying about you. He's reproaching you. And save us now so that all the nations may know that indeed you are the true and the living God. All right? So we have the action, laying the letter before the Lord, the appeal, saying, yes, indeed, all the other nations' gods were made of wood and stone, but you are the living God, and he is reproaching you. Stop him. And let the nations know that you're not just like all the other nations that have been wiped out. And then our last point is the effect. The effect. Well, the effect. The thing that happens afterwards is that Isaiah is given the word of the Lord and goes ahead and gives this message. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah. They were both in the same time, the prophet Isaiah and Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. And then rather than reading through all of this, it's basically saying, I have put you in this place of power, O Sennacherib. I have given you the ability to lay these nations to waste, but you in your pride have thought that it's your power. I'll take and put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your mouth and bring you back from the same place that you came from, that you may know that I am the Lord God. And it's not, the power is not of you, but it is of me. It was just my will that you would have that power to do that. Proverbs 16, verse 4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So here's a case where the Lord is using wicked king to accomplish his purpose in that time, but not to allow them to take Jerusalem over. And so then as we read on here, what happens then is it says, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Yeah, that's the funny part. And I had actually another, you could put another word here rather than the affect, you could just say the angel. I always like this story because, this part, because it's not like he had to have 185,000 angels to take out 185,000 soldiers. He just gave a command to one angel in heaven. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Go down to this area and smite this camp of the Assyrians. Okay. Yes, Lord. Leaves, and it's done. Carries this out. The spiritual force of the spiritual and physical force of an angel, the messenger of death that comes, is I would say beyond our comprehension. Is he limited to numbers? It's probably just if the Lord says 185,000, then the angel says, okay, 185,000. If he says 185 million, then the angel says, okay, 185 million. I don't know if he's really limited to numbers. The strength and the power how the Lord uses these angels is somewhat beyond our comprehension, I think. And so this is what happens. Remember the bold, brash man? The bold, brash, blasphemous man? And this King Sennacherib who sent him? Boy, in his pride, he was confident that he would take this land. When he was standing down there, he just thought, well, here's another conquest. This is going to be fun. I'm sure that was his attitude. This is going to be fun. They're going to say no, and then we're just going to give them. We're going to give them what we got. We're going to batter down a wall, or we're going to find an inroad to the city, and we're going to wipe them out. And it'll be yet another conquest that we can write down on our little tablet, right? Write down in our history. We took Jerusalem, and this is how we did it. But the one mistake he made is he blasphemed God. And because Hezekiah was a godly man, this is what probably irked Hezekiah the most, to hear the blasphemy and say, no, 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 no. You can't do that to the living God. So the council went out, they heard and found out about this closed door, and then they get the letter, and the action is Hezekiah goes and puts an army together and wipes out the Assyrians. Nope, that's not what happened. Hezekiah did not take any effort of his own. He saw that this Assyrian army was greater than what he had. He knew that flesh and blood couldn't help him here. He couldn't come up against these Assyrians. But he did have a power in that he knew the true and the living God. And he laid this letter before the Lord, says, here now, look what he's written about you. Don't let this happen, Lord. Don't let this happen. So then God speaks into the ear of the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah sends out the prophecy to Assyria and says, well, this is what the deal is. You think that you have power. I've given you the power. And there's no more hope for you. I'm going to lead you back from the way that you came from. And then the final result, the angel, the affect that came to pass because of this appeal. Wow. So what's the conclusion of this lesson? What can we learn from this lesson? Never give up. That would probably be a good lesson when things are looking really grim and there seems to be nobody that is on your side or the situation is very much against you. Don't give up. Yeah, that's good. We need to put up a defense. We need to not listen to the devil when he tries to lay us low with his head game in us. But more so, I think, we need to make the appeal. We need to be willing to come before the Lord and lay out the situation before the Lord. Make the appeal unto God. I am thy servant, Lord. And this ungodly culture that's coming in is blaspheming you, Lord. Would you go up against them? Would you lay waste their plans, O Lord, because you are for righteousness, you're not for ungodliness. And so we can make our own appeal before the Lord. And the battle for us oftentimes is right inside. The walled city sometimes is right inside of us. And so sometimes the biggest battle we need to deal with is making an appeal that our hearts would be made right and that we wouldn't have the enemy trying to get in. And so we can appeal on a regular basis. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We should make our appeal to the Lord. Appeal for righteousness. That's what Hezekiah was making an appeal for. Ultimately, appeal for righteousness by the righteous God of heaven and earth, coming against the unrighteousness of His day. So let's close in prayer. Thank You, Lord, for this lesson about Hezekiah, the appealing Lord. Let our hearts be the same, Lord, that we wouldn't go this way or that way to try to deal with the problem, that we would come right before You. We'd lay the trouble, Lord, right out before You, right in Your house. Lord, help us to spend this time on our knees. Take it to the Lord in prayer, as the hymn says. Is there trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us be that kind of a people, Lord, and help this true story, this history lesson from Hezekiah sink deep into our hearts, that we'd come to You first, not come to You last, but come to You indeed first, and we can receive Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.